Thank you, Honourable Chair. Honourable Member, thank you very much for the opportunity to present the Tourism Intensive Program, or the TIP as we refer to it. We wanted to present this a lot earlier, as the Honourable Chair mentioned, and shortly after the launch, but programs were problematic this year, and unfortunately the schedule didn't allow, but we are here now. I would like to convey the apologies of our Acting Director General, Mr. Victor Tarage. He really wanted to be at the meeting, but he's currently in the Cabinet Court, so he couldn't make it. But we decided he was going to join you in any case because of the delay. So the other benefit of coming here a few months later than we initially planned to is that we now have a little bit of extra information that we can impart and share with you on progress with the implementation of the pilot today. So that's maybe a benefit of it as well. Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, to start, we know that tourism is already a force for good. It has a significant social benefit in terms of development and growth contribution to the country. We also know that tourism is a force for change, and it has a transformative power that can accelerate inclusive growth. The TIP, the Intensive Program, is in one of the tools available to the department that we can use to facilitate the cross-border formation in the sector and to grow. And this year is a pilot year. We've introduced it this year. Mr. Hanekom launched it in March and started in April. That was our first year, and we are doing it in a pilot phase because we've never done anything like this before. It's new ground for us. We anticipate learning a lot of lessons, and we will improve the program as we expand. and just the desired outcomes and what we would like to achieve through this is we would like to see enterprise growth, which will lead to wealth. We would like to see transformation quality standards in the sector. This not only enhances the business experience, but it also contributes to the competitive competition. We want to see stronger and more stronger and enhanced iconic attractions. We have some of the most unique attractions around the world, and we need to strengthen those to ensure that we remain competitive. We'd also like to see more energy efficiency and the use of renewable energy sources in our sector. This will not only facilitate greater energy security for the sector and for operations in the sector, but it will also create pressure on the electricity grid, and it will significantly lower the operational input costs for enterprises. Honourable members, the pilot phase of the program focuses on four main areas. The market access support, where we subsidize access to new markets and the entry of new enterprises into these markets. The tourism rating support component, where we aim to lower the cost of tourism rating. Project sustainability and enhancement. This is where we would like to focus on the iconic attractions to strengthen them, and also to support some of the projects in which the department is already involved in terms of the sustainable operations. And then the fourth and final area is the focus on renewable energy retrofit for tourism facilities. Those are the four areas. And in the next slide, I will then take you through more detail on each of these. And I would also, as mentioned, provide some information after or before each section, after each section on the progress to date during the first quarter of this year that we've managed to achieve so far. So the first area is market access support. Through consultation with industry, we are very much aware that access to international markets and platforms, trade shows and road shows and those types of things, are prohibitively expensive for most tourism enterprises to participate in. So what we offer, the nature of support here, is partial reimbursement of certain costs incurred by qualifying enterprises in participating in these events. And selected marketing platforms. We offer them custom mounts on all their accommodation and exhibition or participation. So we're not paying the entire amount, but we contribute in a large portion of it. So there's still some level of commitment by the enterprise. The objective, essentially, as I mentioned briefly, is to unlock market potential, to introduce players into the market, also reduce the cost burden for marketing from tourism enterprises, and then through this facilitate enterprise growth and expansion that will lead to greater job creation and also transformation in the sector. The process that we follow is we publish a list of events that we agree to with our African tourism. In the pilot phase, we focus only on a selected number of events. We don't have the support prior to the starting slowly. We agree on a number of tourism support events. And then we put out the call for applications. We have an example, and I think this one has some copies of the call for application that we issued for the first one that we did, which was the Asia Roadshow. So the process is to issue a call for applications and then to receive applications, to a technical assessment of those applications against the criteria and the guidelines, then publication and approval, contracting, and then the business participation. Upon a return after the event, the business produces a report, a post-intervention report, and we reimburse them for the agreed amount that we contracted with. So the target audience here is mainly more than medium-sized inbound tourism enterprises that are market ready and are also transformed. So we place significant emphasis on transformed businesses and on their market. We've learned this lesson when we were in discussion with the Department of Trade and Industry, where we're not going to support not markedly have optimal impact. So we are aware of that. We are able also to bring in the future of the program, to bring in new programs that we support businesses that are not market-ready as part of the mentorship program. So that's in the thinking going forward. Then I've listed on this side the platforms that we've identified with the African tourism. They can be grouped into business tourism events, like a CIDDM, which is a business tourism show in China, which in fact happened in the first week of August. IMAX America is the IMAX business tourism platform in the States. There's also one in Europe, which is not included in this financial year, but we will look at for next year. And then a similar platform, CIDDM, in Spain. And these are the platforms where venues for conferences and meetings, exhibitions, extended travel, and that's where those products are negotiated and sold. Then on the leisure tourism side, we have ABBA, which is the largest tourism trade event in the world, in South America. It comes here to the consumer show in the Netherlands. Then we have Swahili Tourism Expo, Magical Kenya, and Akwaba. Those are three of the new events in Africa that we hope to support. And then also roadshows, the Asia Roadshow, which was scheduled for China, South Korea, and Japan, and the India Roadshow. The Asia Roadshow, I will report on a little bit. We just concluded that. We cannot go to South Korea due to the MERS case, so that whole program changed very shortly before the event, so we did China and Japan. And it was the first event that we supported, and it was, although it was very small and only a few things, it was very successful. So those platforms are platforms that we've agreed to with South African Tourism. Because our unit in the program started that way, and we will expand in the future. We have already, however, already started looking at other platforms that we can add. One is the WISCUS, the World Youth and Student Travel Conference that happens here in the Western Cape later this year. We've already issued a call for applications for that, which in fact closes at the end of the week. And we are looking at possible golf tourism to add an event there, the international golf tourism market. And then maybe possibly also some kind of great platform in Turkey, Russia, Switzerland, and UAE, which we are considering, but we haven't done yet. But as I say, we are exploring these as we learn as we go along. Just on the implementation progress, I've included a slide that is new information. Where I can report that we've, after the launch, we finalized the program documentation, the application forms, and the program guidelines, and published those on the website. And then we started with the calls for application, and we have the education committee meetings on a monthly basis. And then, and that table indicates the events that we are actively busy with. So the Asia Roto, that already happened. We had 9 applications, and there were ultimately 4 companies that joined us, which we supported. Then there was the ABBA, which is the event in Sao Paulo in Brazil in September. We issued the call for applications, we adjudicated, and the contracting is underway for 10 companies that have been approved out of the 18 applications. CIBTM, the business tourism platform in China, happening now in August. We had challenge with in terms of getting applications. We worked closely with the National Convention Bureau, that's part of South African Tourism, and to mobilize members in this subsector. And unfortunately, we could not get sufficient applications, any applications to pass by the deadline. So this is a lesson that we learned in terms of our pipeline timeline. We need to lengthen to get time to get applications. And then the WISTICS, the World Youth and Student Travel Conference, those applications, as I mentioned, close at the end of this week. To date, we have 12 applications. We have not done any adjudication on this, obviously. It has closed through. I would like to point out to the honourable members that on the slides that were distributed, there were five tracks on this page. The total columns there was an amount of a number of 14 in the final column and none in the application column. I just corrected that. I think that you know that it was unfortunately an error in the presentation. just to load that table, that is one of the main challenges that we've picked up in doing these first events, is that it's something that we have to correct. The process and principle in the guidelines to require businesses to pay upfront for the flight, accommodation, and then the department reimburses them after the event is proving very problematic, because it keeps small businesses out. They do not necessarily have such amounts upfront available. The reason why we did it was in line with the PSMA, we wanted to reimburse rather than pay upfront. And now we've learned that this is causing more problems than helping. In other cases where a business is able to afford the upfront payment, the challenge it causes is cash flow, because there's probably a 2 to 3 month lag after between payment and reimbursement. So we've noted this, and a few other minor things that we will amend. We will amend the guidelines. So those are the next steps to accommodate these businesses. So as a pilot, hence the whole process of a pilot is to pick up things that's not within the community. So we're acknowledging those oversight, and we are correcting them in those guidelines that will be amended to. And then this next step is also to continue to call for applications for the other events identified. Moving on to the second program, is the tourism grading support program. Here, we've introduced this due to the industry saying that the cost of grading is expensive and it's becoming more expensive. And when combined with other increases in input costs, such as electricity and other input costs, grading is often the first thing that people cancel, because they feel that they have a standard and if they do not renew their grading. So as a result, the grading council has lost a number of members. It was also in a way due to a clause that they brought in a couple of years ago around a 3-year commitment, and that made a number of members cancel their grading. But what we would like to see as the National Department of Tourism is a greater conformity to quality standards in the country. We need to have a standard. It's not to say people need to have higher stars or more stars. It is to ask businesses to have the star grading that indicates the standard, because this is important from a visitor's perspective to create an expectation and to maintain a standard level of service across the sector, regardless of specific location or the type of business. But that if it's a 3-star standard, then it informs the visitor that you can expect that type of service. So we just like more people to participate and more tourism enterprises to participate in the grading system. So then we introduce a structured system in the program of rebates on the annual grading assessment fees paid to the Tourism Grading Council. Initially we wanted to dovetail this with the grading council system. Unfortunately, so that it's one application process, unfortunately their system does not allow invoicing of discounts upfront. So we had to, for the first pilot year, until their system can be restructured, we had to run a parallel system where one would apply for tourism grading to the Tourism Grading Council, or a renewal in fact, and then after being awarded grading, becomes eligible for rebate from the client. Separate application process. We hope to in the future convert these to so that a seamless one application process that pumps the discount into that process. So what we essentially offer is for new properties that have never been graded before, is a 30% rebate on their first assessment on the fees paid to the grading council, and then it's scaled up. So if you then renew in your second year, or you in your second year and you renew for the first time, it becomes a 35% discount on the assessment fee, and then the second renewal or third year in the system would then be a 40%, and so it increases up to 50%. We also would like to acknowledge the businesses that were with the grading system for longer than 5 years, that remain loyal despite the turbulence and the problems that the grading council experienced. So we start them at the 50% loyalty rebate on any fifth and subsequent reassessment. And then as part of the transformation focus, we added a 10% transformation rebate. This is available to tourism enterprises that apply for grading and that can prove that they have made deliberate efforts to transform. So if you're familiar with the tourism VEO, it's slightly different from the generic scorecard from the DGI. Tourism is a bit more stringent in terms of the thresholds. But here we are not allowing this 10% discount, additional discount for businesses that achieve a level 400%. If it's an exempt micro enterprise, they have to have at least a level 3, 2 or 1 EU rating. And in the case of QSEs, qualifying small enterprises or large enterprises, they can have a level 4, because in order to achieve level 4 on those levels, or a level 3 on an exempt micro-enterprise level, you have to have done a number of things to achieve that. So this additional discount for transformation is only if there's been deliberate effort made in transformation. So obviously, as I mentioned here, the objectives are to have basic conformity and participation in a grading system, and ultimately this will enhance the visitor experience and also improve the destination competitiveness overall. So again, similar to the market access process, there's an application process where you apply to the grading through the grading council and then apply for a rebate from the department. We do a technical assessment around or against the eligibility and qualifying criteria, and then qualifying rebate are processed once the grading council has informed us that they've awarded the star grading. So we only qualify the business once the grading council confirms that. The target audience, essentially all enterprises that are part of the grading system are eligible to apply, and if they have membership, whether it's a renewal or a new again, we place particular focus on smaller enterprises and transformed businesses, and also we make this program, even though the program only commenced in April, we make it available to enterprises that entered the grading system or renewed their grading since the 1st of January 2015 to make sure that we cover an entire calendar year of application. In terms of progress for the program grading system, we can report the following. Again, like with market access, the programs are finalized, the documents and guidelines and application forms published on the website in April. We directly invited already 2,578 enterprises that have been star graded by the Tourism Grading Council to apply this year. These are the businesses that have been awarded grading since January. We also market the program through provincial workshops that I will get to a little bit later. But in addition to the general awareness campaign around this, we send emails directly to each business that's been awarded grading. So we receive that information from the grading council once they've awarded the stars, and then we email business and inform them that they are eligible to apply. The reason we have so few applications to date out of that 2,500 is that, for one, experience from DGI as well, any new incentive program has a bit of a slow uptake in the beginning, so this is going to accelerate. But also we have some challenges with the grading council in receiving that information. So the information about the fifth tranche from January to April, we only received in the beginning of June. So we can effectively could only start sending direct communication to those businesses in June. So the 78 application that you see there today has been coming in for the last 2 months. So it looks a bit worse than it is. These are expected to increase substantially. Half of those we've already approved 31, or they're pending approval, they're the process. And then the applications in process, which also includes applications where there's some outstanding information or there's some eligibility issues, coming at 57. I believe this is yes, no, that's the number I have. Again, here we had a challenge that we picked up and a shortcoming in our guidelines, which we are busy addressing through an amendment. Is sole proprietors and partnerships will not accommodate the environmental guidelines. And when the applications started coming in, we realized very quickly that many of the smaller tourism enterprises are registered as sole proprietors or as so we are changing the guidelines. We've already had approval to change those to allow sole proprietors, of which many guest houses and B&Bs are, as well as partnerships to also apply. Essentially, we want to stimulate more people getting graded and renewing their grades. We do not want to keep them out of the list. The next step, the amendment I mentioned, and also slight improvements to the guidelines based on the lessons that we've learned today, so that is important. And that is the tourism grading support program. Honorable Chair, the two programs are first presented, the market access program and the tourism grading program, are the only two components of the CIP that is currently available for private applications. The last two components that I'll present in a minute are ones that we are piloting, and we are doing pilot studies we are doing internally first in government, and then we hope to be expanding going out in the subsequent years to introduce new programs related to this. So in terms of the next one then, the project sustainability and enhancement, these, as I said, is not open to private sector at the stage, but they are for project in which the department is already involved, and this is specifically done to ensure greater sustainability of some of these projects and also to enhance our iconic attractions. So on the slide there you will see the reference to the social responsibility implementation project, or the so-called SRI project. These are projects under the expanded public works program. And there's been a number of challenges around this whole area of work over the last few years, and the department inherited projects that's not ideal and so on. But there are some of these projects that are great new goals, but they have one or two small aspects that prevent them from operating sustainably. And the SRI unit in the department has identified around 19 of those projects, which we have then undertaken to assess. Our independent assessment done on these to identify what are the specific operational challenges and then to consider them for support. So we are not going to support 19 of them, we are considering 19 of them, and where necessary we will support through the CIP some of these projects to become more sustainable. So on that list there, you will see the typical areas of support that we will consider is probably the management development and mentorship, field development and training, management contracts, operational systems, booking systems and licenses. Maybe that you have a well-built road, but it's just not operating because either the owner of the community that owns it may not have the requisite skills or management experience, or they lack the actual booking system to start it. So those are the things that we will then consider for support. The second part of this area of focus is the destination development component, where we will look at some of our really world-renowned attractions, and not all of them are running at the levels where they should. Minister always makes the example of Mapungubwe, where he was guided through a tourist guide at Mapungubwe, where the minister had more knowledge of what was going on at Mapungubwe than the guide. Although he acknowledged that the guide was a fantastic person with good interpersonal skills and was a wonderful guide to have, but he didn't have the knowledge. So there are problems with some of our attractions, and we need to strengthen them because we welcome international visitors and we need to give them a proper experience. So that's the rationale behind looking at some of our iconic destinations and to strengthen them. So on the next slide, I've highlighted the destination development focus. A working group in the department has, for the pilot phase, identified Robben Island as one of the world's heritage sites. Kruger National Park is one of the national parks, and Botanical Botanical Garden as one of the national botanical gardens of the country, to be the pilot project for this destination development focus, where we want to enhance the product and to improve the visitor experience and the competitiveness. We are also looking at possibly Marupeng, that we've been briefed around plans for Marupeng and the Code of Humankind, as well as the visitor center at the 2 kilometer array, which is a world's first project in the North Cape, to look at supporting those projects. So these are all sites where there are plans in place, but there are shortages in terms of funding these planned projects. So for example, if you look at the Rothermullen Museum, there are plans in place to improve that site. At Kruger, they have plans for new product developments that are planned, and they're funded through their respective departments. But because of the significant tourism component of the department, is of a view that we need to accelerate these developments and strengthen these destinations from a tourism perspective. Sandbars, for example, core mandate is conservation. So they don't get their full budget for the tourism side. And we have a vested interest in ensuring that those attractions are running at the level that they should. So that's the whole rationale behind it. And then the potential areas of support here is again skill development and training. For example, at Robben Island, we are specifically looking at the tourist guides and their skills and to help improve that and support training there. Also, improvement to the visitor management system and the operational aspect. What this is really doing, we are particularly looking at signage and visitor information. And product development and expansion in Kruger. There's the Wild Activity Hub projects that the National Parks have in place, and this are specifically for tourism and for family-related travel. So we will support those types of projects. Just in terms of the implementation progress with these projects, in terms of the SRA project, there are two of the community-based projects that we are supporting under the GRP. This was in fact already started last year. The one is the Nahaku Lodge in Mpoko and also the Ski Depot Center in the Eastern Cape. And then we just the SRI unit finalized the terms of reference for the independent viability assessment of the 19 identified projects, so we will start looking at those. Then on the destination development side, we have memoranda of understanding already signed with Robben Island Gym, with Anpark and with Sundy. And then we also have received some of the project plans that they've developed for the identified projects. Our next step here would be to finalize these plans for all the projects and then to draft service level agreements to kickstart that. So that's the progress on that area. Honourable Chair, if you'll allow me, the last area of the four components is the renewable energy retrofitment pilot project. Here, the pressure on the national grid is well known. We have increasing electricity prices for tourism operations. In fact, everyone, but it affects tourism operations because it increases the input cost. In security of electricity supply with the load shedding schedule is problematic from a tourism perspective, because you can imagine, and it happened to us in Kuza, when we did a site visit day, where we were in the restaurant, having dinner and suddenly all the power went off. And it distracts from the local experience. So ideally you would want to have, as a tourism operation, energy security and ensure that consistent supply. And then obviously, from a responsible tourism perspective, which is one of our driving principles, is that to do something like this would go a long way towards walking the talk and start implementing more responsible tourism practices and making us a truly green destination. We are already world-renowned for our responsible tourism policies. One of the few countries at the forefront of responsible tourism in the world, and now we need to practice what we preach. So the nature of support here is to subsidize the retrofitment of tourism facilities with renewable energy systems that will enhance the visitor experience. Meant that we will alleviate pressure off the grid, we will reduce the input costs, we will then confirm our status as a leading responsible tourism destination. And here we have the little work we've done so far. We've realized that solar technology in our country presents a unique opportunity. It has the capacity to decentralize energy generation, and it has relatively short payback periods in relation to other systems. We will look at all renewable sources, but solar is of very much interest to us. And the other thing that we really would like to look at is the localization of production. and see if we can, as far as possible, utilize local producers and manufacturers of this technology and equipment. This will support the industry policy, which supports a more integrated economic approach. In the pilot phase, Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, we are looking at government-owned or state-owned destination areas first. So the intention is to roll this out to private sector with a custom scheme, of course, but this is a large project and we need to learn a lot. So we decided to do a pilot project during the first part of the CRC. And here we will specifically look at World Heritage Sites, National Parks, Botanical Gardens, and some of our projects that we are already involved with. In the subsequent years, then, the idea is to introduce a staggered strategy to incentivize retrofitment by private sector tourism operators. So typically, we would subsidize a portion of the cost, not the entire cost, and for smaller businesses, we will offer a larger subsidy, and for larger, more affording businesses, we should offer a smaller subsidy, but also sufficient to get them to make the change, to move from current sources and the national grid to renewable offset sources. We would also consider possible financing instruments for the non-subsidized portion of the incentive, so that smaller businesses have the opportunity to pay off the part that they have to pay over a period. In terms of procurement and contracting for this, we will definitely do this in accordance with the Public Finance Management Act. We cannot do it any other way. We will look at partnerships with development finance institutions like your CFAS and the IDC and the like. And again, as I mentioned earlier, we would like to place emphasis on localization of production to support the broader green economy. Just a slide briefly on some of the benefits, so linking back to what I said first. Well, from a tourist perspective, there would be an uninterrupted visitor experience. There would be no load shedding problems if we can get this right. From an enterprise's perspective, this significantly lowers the input cost. And that goes straight to the bottom line of business, which allows the business then to expand and grow and ultimately also create more jobs. And for the country, it reduces pressure on the grid and it gives us a competitive edge from a tourism perspective to say that we are a truly responsible tourism destination that places emphasis on renewable energy. I've added a few examples there just to give this a bit of context. If you consider, for example, and this is not necessarily what will happen in the end, this is the same information we gave at the launch, so this example. A 500 kilowatt photovoltaic mini grid to cover the electricity requirements of Robben Island, then you can take them off the current diesel generator completely. So that is the thinking there. If you look at the sand park, maybe one of the camps, an example would be a reasonable size small camp that uses 280 kilowatts. That will probably save national park and sand park around 1 million rand per annum in terms of the econ bill, which is significant. And then if you look at the private sector side, which we will introduce a program in the subsequent phases, is for small guest houses that may have 15 odd rooms, might require around a 10 kilowatt system, and that would probably save them around 5,000 or more a month in terms of electricity costs. And the same would then apply to a larger hotel, maybe a mid-sized 250 room hotel. If you introduce a 65 odd kilowatt system, you can probably expect a saving of around 50,000 a month for that system. So those are just a few examples to give context. In terms of progress on this particular component of the CRD, we started in April with consultation with a number of government entities, which focused on the Department of Science and Technology to understand what is currently available in terms of renewable energy technology and what are our options. We've been in discussions with the Industrial Development Corporation in terms of potential partnerships, and they have the capacity to administer programs for departments. They do that already for the Department of Trade and Industry, for example. We have limited capacity, so we would like to explore, can we collaborate with them on that? And then obviously, most importantly, we spoke to National Treasury to understand how do we procure this correctly and what approach should we follow. Subsequent to those discussions, we led at the IEC as a panel of renewable energy experts, and we obtained access to that panel because they were correctly appointed in line with the PSMA, and the PSMA allows us to gain access with the permission of the CEO, which we then obtained. So we hope to appoint some technical advisors on that panel to assist us. We have also issued, you might have seen in the press, we have issued a request for information to local equipment manufacturers of renewable energy solutions to understand and test the market and see what is available. That process is already closed, so we will be reviewing the documents received. And the pilot sites are being finalized. Again, we are looking at an island museum, which currently runs off a diesel generator at a huge cost, significant environmental risk. We're also speaking to national parks, which is not campus we can work with and take them off the grid completely, as well as the botanical, National Botanical Institute. The idea is here to look at some of the gardens. This is only the pilot phase, so we will look at these state-owned properties for now, and then going forward in subsequent phases, we want to introduce the program to private citizens. And we believe that when this happens, we will start seeing a significant cost saving and growth in the tourism sector, and a big move towards renewable energy solutions. So our next step is to appoint the technical advisor to assist us, and then develop technical specifications for each of these sites that we've identified in pilot phase. Quickly on governance and management, we will follow the precepts of the PSMA. There's an adjudication committee that's been appointed by the Director General and that meets monthly. The typical process, as I mentioned, is the application, the technical assessment, verification of document submitted, adjudication, and then we provide the support. We are also in the process of setting in place a monitoring evaluation system where we can measure the impact. So for example, on the market access program, we want to understand what the value was of attendance and participation in an event. We can measure the number of contact signs, value thereof, number of tourists who represent to the country. So in the next year or so, we will be able to give concrete data and information on the impact of the business that we support and the investment that we make to measure that return on investment space. The expenditure estimate, which is the interest amount, so we have separated the actual budget allocation for the 3 years and the amount that we have for the transfer estimate. So you will see that in total, the budget allocation for that period is around 550 million, which is the NSF allocation, of which 535 odd million is being used for the transfer for the incentives, and the rest is compensation and good services and run of the administration of the unit. The amount amongst the program will differ as we learn the lessons in the pilot. So the specific allocation for these four components are changing because the uptake is a bit slow on some of the market access and engaging programs, so we're using some of that funds then for the other side. We will manage that process. But these are the amounts that we have to work with. Honourable Chair, I'd like to briefly touch on the stakeholder engagement and awareness that we've done today. This has been pretty successful. We did the launch in March, and then we had a presentation to the Portfolio Committee thereafter, and we planned one to the Select Committee, which is the one that's happening now, which we're very happy for. And then we've had a number of internal awareness sessions within the department, to the different branches and the department at the Gulf to create awareness around the program and what we're doing. We've also completed in quarter one a first round of industry awareness workshops in all of the provinces. And then we've set up a formal inquiry email address that's been going since March after the launch of this open, and we've had a good response to that. We've had well over 100 inquiries, and they range for the different components of the program or just general information. And we were successfully able to respond to all of those queries within a couple of days. So we're comfortable with that process. The next step is a second round of industry workshop in the provinces. It's already underway. I'll talk about that in the next slide. And then exploring alternative platforms to communicate wider. But the communication so far has been good. In the first round of awareness workshops that happened between May and June, on the next slide there you will see the city. So the first column is the province where it took place. The second is the city for the first round of application awareness workshop. So for example, in Mbasa and Utenhead we started, then we did Kimberley, Bloemfontein, Hedgetown, Maxton, Telefon, Sherman, and we did the top one in Newcastle, Mandela, and also Johannesburg. Those were the first round of awareness workshops. It was pretty well attended. We're close to, we also did one at the Indaba, which was a tech H&E workshop. And we had close to 1,000 attendees. We invited about 3,500 directly with close collaboration with the provincial authorities. We had tremendous support from our counterparts in the provinces, departments and agencies assisted us in obtaining the mailing lists and mobilizing attendance to these. So for that we are very grateful, and it seems to have worked. There's a lot of excitement from the attendees, and they have issues, which I will but they in general pretty excited. The last column there is the second round of workshops, and this we go to the same provinces, but we look at smaller centers, and we have already done Georgian Salvana Bay in the Western Cape. We already did Richard Bay and Port Shepton. I think this week we're doing, tomorrow in fact, we'll be doing Upington in the Northern Cape, and then in the next few weeks there will be Clarence, and also Mpumalanga. We'll cover those in the next couple of weeks. Slide I thought on the comments from the floor in the workshop is not there, but maybe just to say that we've noted concerns around the rating system from industry. Not so much our program, but the integrity of the broader tourism rating system. And that is something I believe has been touched on in the review of ecotourism recently that was instituted by the Minister. There's also suggestions on how we can improve the program and the guidelines, so we take note of all of those, and we will consider the comments and questions from those workshops into amending the guidelines. Chair, looking ahead, as I mentioned, this is the pilot phase. We will continue to strengthen and improve the market access and rating program that's currently ongoing through amending the guidelines, and we are facilitating full implementation of the destination development and the energy retrofitment project this year. And then going forward after the pilot phase in the financial year, we hope to refine the program from all the lessons learned during the pilot phase. We'd like to realign some of the components and then expand on them. So for example, the market access program, we have a limited number of around 10 events that we consider, and we hope to significantly scale this up going forward and open it to a much wider audience, and also to introduce new programs. The Minister already alluded to, in subsequent years, we will also look at a retrofitment program for universal accessibility in the sector to assist tourism operators to retrofit their business or their properties with facilities that can accommodate people with disabilities. Because that is a big concern in our sector, that it's too costly to convert the properties. So a lot of emphasis will be placed on supporting businesses to do that conversion going forward, to kickstart that momentum, so that we can access that market and accommodate that market. So there's potentially a very lucrative and large market. It's not just people with disabilities, but it's also people with physical constraints, elderly, people with small children and babies and families. So we need to start looking at that in future as well. So we are aware, and there are things in the pipeline. And very close to ending, just again to recap the desired outcomes of the project. Through this, we would like to see enterprise growth to support more employment and sector transformation. We want to see an improvement to quality standards in the sector and greater conformity to that. We want to enhance our economic attraction to improve the destination competitiveness. And with the energy program, we would like to see more energy efficiency, drive down the infrastructure of energy, and facilitate energy security to become can be the leading responsible person based on nation. Honorable Chair, that is my presentation. I've added on the last slide our contact details and where the inquiries can be linked to. And I thank you very much for your attention.
Members, we have had the very insightful slides. From the improvement in trading, from sustainability and enhancement, because it is a new project, it is really important that we don't just introduce it, that already we have been able to receive some feedback on progress that has been made in the last few months. And then the very important aspect of the retrofit facility and the requirements on energy efficiency. We appreciate in particular the balance of ensuring that we not only look at the bigger players within the industry, but also look at developing enterprise as being covered to some extent for us as well. Let us now give an opportunity for members to engage with the our father.
Thanks, Chair. I'd just like to get some information on the tagging system of the Get Drivers and itself. Specifically in the Northern Cape, I was going through those areas and I don't know what the person's name is, but he was in charge of grading in that area of these Get Drivers, etc. And they had a problem. I referred him to James Force at that stage. But apparently there was a huge problem with the grading, and I would like to know if that's been sorted out. Then we are talking about, I saw the second or third last page on the energy part. We were saying, or you were saying that they're going to stop with the state enterprises, obviously. But the example, for instance, was on 10 kilowatts. PV system can save 13 rooms. Is this just like an example that you're giving us? Because obviously ourselves and guest houses are not part of it, or are you actually trying to also take some of them on these pilot projects? I'd just like to know that. And the rest I think is quite straightforward.
Okay, maybe just while the other two members are thinking, let me read two. One is particularly when you look at the provincial spread of the program. We often find that there are two of our problems that are in effect. The one being Northern Cape, and then the other one being either the Eastern Cape or the Coast. But I don't want to exclude the that they have represented here from. But I particularly want to look at that stress, not necessarily breaking it down in each of the provinces, but saying, is it the strategic element as well of this program to ensure that you begin to address the geographic impact? The second is that we are coming from. Now, I'm from Gauteng. If I look at the state of the province, there's a lot of elements in that that talks about renewable, access to renewable energy sources as well. And I wanted to know whether the department is engaging with provinces on that, or whether there would be a need for us when the MCOG to engage further with the tourism department so that we can get up this solution. I note that you mentioned the Department of Science and Technology.
technology, but you cannot make such a part of it.
Energy.
Neither do you mention the parties public enterprises.
I assume that it's not because they are excluded, but during the pilot phase that is really one focus. So when I don't raise questions about them, it's not for not being aware of it, but saying that we appreciate that already this pilot phase, there might be a speech with it of already being to the stage.
Thank you. Just on this, from this, on the aspect of the program, my particular interest has been in three states, which I see one on the workshops you've only done number 10 and you'll only be dealing with clients after that. And it concerns me because the Free State is the only province, one that is central, and two, that has two of the major national roads running through it. And we're not paying attention to developing a tourism strategy, especially around N1 and N2, and N1 and N3 that go through the thing, that's the one then two. I'm just wondering, I suppose one has to wait and see. I'm a little bit worried about the implementation of this renewable energy by the Department of Tourism, when I think the department should play a more consultative role and maybe bring the implementation delayed by the Department of Energy. But I understand the interest that the department has. I'm just worried about the implementation. So I'd be interested in tracing that development and seeing how it goes. And that's it. Thanks, sir.
Jimunia, do you want to go now or come later?
It's okay.
Thank you very much, Chair, and thank you.
Sorry, Chair, there was just one that I did read out. If possible, I just can jump in again. Sorry, Mr. Mayor. This was about the tourism when you take new business by the sea to go and actually advertise themselves. And the one issue that I actually have is a lot of small tourism companies, let's say for instance in hunting or in golfing, promoting golf clubs, a company that wants enough to promote golf clubs in South Africa. Now you said that these companies must first obviously have a bit of a track record, but I mean, how do you in tourism build up a track record on overseas tourism if you don't go overseas to go and get the people? This is like a bit of a catching suit to me.
Thank you.
I hope all the questions
are clear. They are clear. Thank you very much. Honourable Chair, can I maybe start with the back and move back in with Honourable McQuena, and it might cover your own questions around this. So, I think Honourable McQuena, thank you very much for the issues raised. The workshops is the first and second round that was held in Bloemfontein and Clarence next week. We've noted that, so we will look at the going forward, how do we do the kind of awareness campaign wider. I think on the routes that go through and the focus on the tourism strategy, through our domestic tourism branch, we are very much working with the provinces. We have, in fact, a chief director or director of the East Coast province that deals with that, and they are in very close contact. I know, and specifically, there's a project around the N3 route that is currently underway. N1, I'm not aware if there's anything around that specifically, but there are definitely initiatives around that to address that. And then I've also noted that the comments on the housing of this renewable energy and tourism. And I noted the point, and I can only say that the reason why we're involved is because we need to get these state-owned properties off from a tourism perspective to make them all competitiveness for now. But we will certainly look at continuing discussions with the Department of Energy and to see how we can maybe shift it, because it may not be entirely in our mandate from an energy perspective, but from a tourism and tourism energy security perspective, we feel that it is important that we instigate that process and start that so that the tourism sector can operate optimally. I hope that answers your question. And then going back to Chair on the provincial trade, we are very much aware of the provinces that are not as we were calling late visited provinces. The larger provinces, from a tourism perspective, has always been the Western Cape, KwaZulu-Natal and Gauteng, and it is maybe a historical issue as well around access and product development from the past, and airports and so on. And there's also then large concentrations of tourism product in these provinces and smaller concentrations of tourism product in the others. So we're very much aware of that. And that's in fact one of the focus areas is to spread and even geographic spread of tourism in the country. So we definitely will look at that and how we do this. We've had through the department many initiatives and there's a particular focus on these provinces. So for example, last year, Tourism Month was held in the Northern Cape at Hafkeng Tang, which was a phenomenal event. And there's big plans coming up with Northern Cape. They presented at the MIPTEC around the speed record that's coming next year with the Bloodhound. And Tourism Month this year will be celebrated in Limpopo. And in the Eastern Cape, I know the Portfolio Committee was there in the last week or two, I think. So there's definitely attention being paid to those provinces. From the tourism incentive programs perspective, we keep an eye on that, but we will make sure that our spread of benefiting businesses is fair and geographic. So that's the intention. We will also report on that. So for the limited applications that we've had so far for the market access program, we already see a good spread. It's not concentrated in one particular area. But our numbers are at this stage too small to really make a proper analysis of it. But we will definitely monitor that and see if there's any need to push it in a particular area to ensure that it's a good representation. And then you've mentioned about the renewable energy discussions on provincial level and the focus that's placed on there. We are not directly, at this stage, engaging provinces yet, but on the projects we are. So, for example, in Gauteng, we've been speaking to Gauteng Tourism Authority that is overseeing the development at the Cradle of Humankind in Iropeng, and they've also alerted us to their energy needs and interest in the renewable energy program. The other projects for the energy, the site is in Mpumalanga, and in Limpopo specifically with National Park at this stage, but we will definitely look at the private sector going forward. Western Cape we have with Robben Island, and that is a very important one from a number of perspectives. One, historically it is from a tourism perspective it's an extremely important national tourism asset, and the risk of having and the cost of having diesel generated on the island is something that we must address. So that is very close to our focus. We've not yet had direct engagement with Department of Energy and public enterprises. We have spoken to them informally, but it's not, as you mentioned, that it's excluding them, but that it's ongoing discussions to improve this program. So we've not deliberately excluded them at this stage. Thank you, and then Honourable Father, to your questions, I'll go from the first question. The grading aspect, in the Tourism Grading Council that resides currently with South African Tourism is our partner in this. Our project, there doesn't seem to be much problem with our program at this stage. But what we pick up from the provinces is exactly what you allude to. There's issues around the integrity of the grading system itself. And we're very much aware of concerns around assessors, and then you refer to probably a master assessor. Each province has a master assessor, as I understand it. And there are problems with the grading council and that system. That is being acknowledged and addressed. The review of South African tourism that was published by the minister, I think a week or two ago, 2 weeks ago, addresses that as well, that there will be an in-depth consideration of where the Grain Council should reside. It should be with the tourism. The recommendation was that it's not, and that another house for it should be found. So that's being under consideration. And I think together with that, there will be a very close look at the grading system and how it looks like. And that's what I can comment on there. The energy examples, and those are purely examples, and it is with the view of where we'd like to go with it. So it is not in this particular year. We focus on the state-owned property. And we may look at how it affects private sector applications during the pilot to understand and help us create something that would work for private sector. But this is with the view of what would happen in the upper years where we introduce it to private sector and what benefits could happen. And then the last point around the market access and the chicken and egg situation of the Catch 22 with the small enterprises that are not market ready and how you build that track record. There are programs in place for smaller enterprises that have not got a track record yet. Through the Prism Enterprise Partnership, for example, and relevant or relevant other initiatives from the department, but not so much in terms of getting businesses market ready. And that is what we've identified, that very gap, and we would like to introduce in the subsequent phases an additional market access program for non-market ready businesses. The reason why we do not want to support a non-market ready business to an international trade show is the huge expense and the return on investment would be zero. We've seen this with, for example, the old Itaya program that used to exist in SA Tourism, where the winners were sponsored to go to trade shows like ITB and WCM in London and in Berlin. And those shows are massive, and the buyers of those shows are buyers that buy 10,000-20,000 beds per year. So they, and if you then go there with a guest house with 10 rooms, and no one tells you how to negotiate these big-minded buyers or where the smaller buyers are, it is a complete waste. So the best benefit from that is that small business can see how these big shows operate, but it's not an appropriate match. So we deliberately ask for businesses in this round to be market-ready so that we can see that they must have some experience in having a packaged product, an integrated experience, that they can negotiate, and they must have had experience in negotiating and packaging deals. And that they can obtain in domestic level. It is not that you must have been abroad already. If you've been to a local trade show, you would have picked up those skills, so that makes you market ready. So we want to see that the business can prove that they are market ready before we support them for international shows. So that market readiness varies depending on the business. We had a reasonably sized lodge from Limpopo attending the Ada Road show that had 200 rooms, and we had a get up in Western Cape that had, I think, 10 or 15 rooms, maybe a little bit more, that attended, and they were both benefiting from this because they've been to the Dava, they've been to the Waterway show, so they understand how to interact and negotiate. So they are market ready. It's not a size issue, it is whether they are market ready. And obviously we definitely look at transformation. So those are, if we work on point scales and we consider transformation and we consider market readiness, we consider the business size, and based on that we look at the qualification. So what I'm trying to say is in the next year we would like to introduce a program that has a mentorship component with it, where we take businesses that are not yet market ready and put them through a mentorship program and maybe take them to domestic shows first, whether it's a consumer show like the Getaway show or the outdoor expo, or if it's a formal trade show like the Meetings Africa or the Indaba, where they engage with other trade, that's what is in the experience. So it would be an ongoing mentorship program from which they then enter and graduate, and once they do that process, they should be as market ready as you can get. In fact, if everything goes slow, they should be more market ready than some of the businesses that believe that they are market ready. So that's what we hope to achieve, but we're not quite there yet. I
hope that answers the question. Thank you. Thank you, Chair. Yes, specifically why I asked this is for the hunters in the Northern Cape. Well, let me say rather the big game farms. They promote their products, and I know a few of these guys, and I mean, they go on their own to try and get the market in the US and in Europe. And
I also know people, for instance, are trying to put in golf packages with specific golf courses. And this is why I say it becomes a catch-22, because some of these guys, safaris and stuff, they are quite big. We're not talking 200 people. But the amount of revenue that they actually get out of people who come and shoot artipias and maybe a white head flock and whatever, maybe just 20-30 people coming in each week or 2 weeks. Some of you guys are not huge, but I would like to understand, will they be able to enter that type of market for us?
Maybe this is all the name, but I would have thought that grading should be mandatory, because if it's not, you're leaving it, and for whatever reason, whether it's financial or access to the system or whatever, but you're leaving an entire section of the industry vulnerable. In my mind, it should be mandatory one, and we should make it more accessible and more effective. That's all I need to say. Thanks.
Mr. Mayor, would you respond to that? It's a problem when you say to me, I have a house, and now I must be correct. But he will respond to it. I rather than be, we say you must. It's a problem with the regulation and things like that. Honorable Mjimunia, are you still around? Let me make three comments first before I raise my question. The first comment would be in the form of a request to be diplomatic about it. We would want to call you back as a select committee again by March next year, anticipating that what you would do for us then is to indicate how small, medium, and middle enterprises have actually benefited from it. That's a fair request. So that's a request. The second thing that point that I'd like to make, also by means of a request, maybe to Pietra, is that in one of the comments you mentioned the tourism, local tourism department contacts, CONTACTS, the context that you have within provinces. It would help us if through Pietra we can request a list of those contacts within the provinces, so that we could also have it available for ourselves. Other than it advancing local tourism, it would also help us to do references. Like Honorable Mogwena, they mentioned this Walter Sisulu Pact in Japan. I've passed it many a time. I've had some friends who've been to the park, but I've never been there. It's a significant site that we need to look at, and maybe then refer people to that as well, if we know who the contacts are within the provinces. So it's a request for that. The third, now I come to my question. My question is on the expenditure estimates that you've given to us. You refer to the medium term, can't be medium term, because medium term we're only developing now in August, September, unless you refer to medium term last year. Because there's going to be one now coming out very soon. That are you saying that you would be covered in terms of the TIP for the period 2015-2016? Because we've already approved, tourism budgets we've all approved. every party voted in favor of it, the NCOP. So I can say, for 2015-2016. Now I can't remember, and I haven't had the time Is it just what you're giving to us here?
Yes. It's
Sorry, Honourable Chair, I've put
the pilot phase in the outer year.
Yes, so the outer year is 1617 and also 1718.
Okay, so you are covered. Okay, that's lovely. Just a B part to that question. Your incentives for alternative energy sources, would that be included in these budgets? Okay, that is fine. Because, Honourable Mokwena, the point that you have raised, just as my final comment, about not taking on the issue of energy production within the department, I'm ready to understand, and I raised you with my question and on, that I said that although you have not mentioned the Department of Energy and the Department of Public Enterprises, one would assume that the consultations with them would be happening anyhow. Let's leave it at that for now in terms of the questions and give you an opportunity to respond, please.
Honourable Chair and Honourable Members, thank you very much. I will start with Honourable Faber and the hunters and the golf tourism packages. Very much in hunting, those hunters and hunting outfitters are focused on trophy hunting, the ones that are focused on the overseas market, so they go to Spain, Russia and the Americas, and they basically, when they do these trade platforms, they pull their order books for the next hunting season. So that is standard practice in those. There are a few smaller outfits, but most of those hunting outfits are large businesses that generate significant revenues. And it is unlikely that the larger ones would qualify under our program. We have a cap of 35 million rand turnover, which is linked to the current tourism EE codes for small and medium businesses. The smaller ones, if they meet the qualifying criteria, there would be no problem. We are a little bit hesitant on the hunting, given the current situation around rhino poaching, and there was just yesterday an issue around the lion in the subway. And to reconcile that with tourism is very sensitive, because we acknowledge the contribution, the tourism contribution or contribution from hunting to tourism, which is definitely there. It's not something that we avoid. But for government to back that is going to be maybe a little sensitive. So we're not doing it very openly. But I don't think if they meet the qualifying criteria, there should not be a problem. The same with the golf packages. We are, in fact, we've been approached by the Golf Tourism Association to see if we can also get the international golf tourism market, which is a trade event specifically on this niche market. And we will definitely look at if we can support that platform. We need to get approvals internally, but we're aware of it. And again, the guidelines of the program apply, so there's definitely emphasis on transformed businesses, there's emphasis on smaller businesses, and that's how we hope to get those businesses into the mainstream, to introduce them as new players into the global golf market, and to allow existing businesses, whether they're larger or smaller, if they qualify, to access those markets that they're not otherwise be able to access. The conflict here is the cost. If you generate your revenue in South African rand, and you have to pay for participation in a trade event that happens or are priced in euros and dollars, that makes it very difficult for our businesses to go to those shows. So they can do it here, but the market sits there. And different from other exports is the product is not exported or sent to the client. If the client comes to South Africa to consume. So tourism is in a way a reverse export, where the consumer comes to the product and production and consumption happens simultaneously. So it is a complex one, and the cost of these big shows are very high for South African companies, hence the reason to support it. Honourable Mokwena, around the grading system, whether it should be mandatory or not, it's an ongoing debate. It's been a long debate. There are camps that feel it must be mandatory, others feel it should be voluntary. The system as it stands currently is a voluntary grading system. No one is forced to grade. We encourage to grade. We, as a department, we would like to see as much as possible of our businesses to grade. They feel they do not necessarily support the standards from the grading council, and they may want to look at standard from the AA. The AA also has a grading system. And now with TripAdvisor, where consumers rate properties themselves, some businesses are wondering, is there a need for a grading system? Because the consumer rates, we feel there is a need for a grading system. We would like to see businesses conform to a standard system. So whether it should be compulsory or not, I guess that is something that would be looked at during the review of the grading system. There is an argument for it. It used to be like that in the past, in the previous dispensation, where there was very draconian rules around forcing all businesses to grade, and it was an unannounced system. So I know from my own experience in working in other countries where the grading is still compulsory. As a staff member in a hotel, you were told to wash up in the parking lot for the, in the UK specifically, it was a white Peugeot. If there's a white Peugeot in the parking lot, you tell the general manager, because it's likely that there's a grader around. Because those are unannounced. And that's why they work in the UK. But here, we don't have that system at this stage. So it may change or may not. I'm not in a position to do that. And then, Honourable Chair, coming back to your point, I don't know if it's maybe covered or not, but I think the comments are very well noted. I would also be very happy to come back in March. It would be nice for us to come back and explain what happened. Because as a pilot phase, we are very much looking forward to the impact. We want to see, did it work or not? And if it did not work or where it didn't work, we would like to improve. So it would be great for us to come back and present on the impact for small businesses and how they benefited and the threat of that and so on. And then I think also the contacts for the provincial colleagues we can certainly share. And the expenditure estimates, those are all covered in there. The focus within the transfer estimate may change as the program progresses. I think the grading system may not take much of the budget. I think a lot refer to the MSE, and there's probably chances that if there's changes to the program, in terms of where the implementation happens or how the subsequent phases develop, the existing money within that amount would probably be happening. But how that would happen, I'm not in a position to say how. For now, we have it with those amounts. That's what we do have. Thank you, Honourable Chair.
I'm not sure.
Thank you
very much.
Thank
you. We do regular work for the community all the time. And it goes back to the I'm personally not happy that we establish places of accommodation. And very often go visit the community because we don't have a choice. We request Martins Erasmus there, and he contacts the travel agent, and they make a booking. So maybe then look at whether the Department of Tourism can't speak to themselves and have a booking for members of parliament. Some of us, I'm not speaking on behalf of all of us, some of us have been refused to go and live in community. But then there are others that would. But if we're talking about incentives, we also need to look at how do we incentivize the tour operators working with companies to be able to explore those sites that will contribute to some of the socio-economic challenges that we face. So to leave it at that within the tourism incentive program to really then look at that, we're going to be meeting quite a lot of economic, and it may be we can raise this type of come back to the electoral committee as the same member that also deals with the challenges of small business development and the Department of Small Business. And that may be placed enough within a favorable position to have a liaison with the project that will come, which will also be some project within that. You can be sure that members of this committee are to look at how those smaller enterprises within our community would benefit. That being said, thank you very much. I want to say thank you to on the program, we did need to take out one effect in question two. The one is the MC study that we do for the NPC program for which the general oversight in the office, which is the 20% of the chapter. Many of the select committees in the NPO are going to be able to continue. So we've decided we're not going to the Northwest. We will just visit one municipality in the province of the Northwest, Moses Kotai. We look at many other. You've been part of the meeting of the ocean. So we're not going. I'm made to understand that the other select committees are not going to Moses Kota. So we will be very interested in that.
Programs of committees fit into the entire program of the NCOP. And changing and chopping around on programs of the NCOP can only be done by a program committee. I'm from that meeting now. I'm not sure if that is fitting into that, but there has been no changes in terms of the meeting that I come from now.
No, we're not making changes either. We're just confirming. We're just confirming that we will be going to the Moses Kotane district within the Northwest. My concern is that there are a lot of other select committees also going to the Northwest, but we are saying that there is no duplication with where we are going, because our area has been specifically identified as the Moses Kotane district. That's the point I'm making. So we're not changing.
I'm not sure if we're on the same then.
Okay, let's talk about that. Let's say the confirmation, I just wanted us to be ready, is the select committee, that's still where we're going. But then, that's the one point. We will finalize the details of the program, because there's been lots of work that has been done on that already, so it's just finalizing that. The second point is the important one that I wanted to raise, colleagues, about our oversight to KwaZulu-Natal on the 8th to the 11th of December. Sorry, September. Can we, as we've done with the Northwest one, again request you to give input as to which areas in the KwaZulu-Natal area we need to visit? That's the big part, Honorable Chimunya. Could we ask you to work with the two secretaries?
to arrange a meeting for us as a minimum sometime next week, that we do what we did on Northwest, that we do that on Taylor End next week. Will that be there? The whole of next week. When are we back here?
Well, we can have that meeting when we go to the Northwest, in the Northwest.
No, we shouldn't. We should, you know, you've seen what happens when we have these meetings during oversight. They're not as productive as when we meet here. Can we meet during that week or the end of August? Because we are here that week, we have a meeting on Wednesday, the 12th of August of this committee. Then maybe after that we can then immediately have. I just want to make sure that there's a work that you are keeping that one for us so that we... Okay, thank you very much. So, Rebecca, you will work with Wonderful Timmy on that. Let's have that within that week. For the staff members who are here as well, now you know that we're going to have the next MENCOM. When we say MENCOM, this instance includes all the staff members. It's actually strategic consultation just on the oversight of the. Are there any other announcements before we close? None. Thank you very much also for the document of the Asia Roadshow, and thanks again for making the time to spend with us. We welcome and appreciate that you not only demonstrate your but also provide us with this insight approach. Thank you very much.
I know heaven and earth. Heaven and earth. So you can have a drive from Kutu Kere Kumen.
I'm going to say that.